Oh, hold on. I have this written down somewhere. Okay. Now, the next force ether test both through your tests deal with the very, very limited issue of squeezing liquids out of fabric punch-ups. So before we actually read any Se'ithin, let's just have a summary of the basic shitos about what's going on here before we get to actually the application of the various cases of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. So I think there's basically one issue, which is squeezing clothing or rags or sponges and squeezing the water out of them. Which av malacha is it? That's the basic machlokas rishonim. And what are the two basic shitas? The Rambam and the Ramban hold that what's the av malacha of squeezing clothing? Malabim. Right, the Rambam puts in Malabim, does not make any mention of any other av malacha. The Ramban as well says Malabim, while Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran and other Rishonim, right, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ran, I think they still say both the Rash, but I mean there's a million more Rishonim, obviously. But what av malacha do they say squeezing liquids out of clothing is? Well, dosh, mefarek, or malabim. I mean, they also say it's malabim. They say there are two options. It can be dosh, mefarek, is the name for the tolada, or milabim. Right? In what, which case, at least Rabbeinu Tam himself says, in which case would it be malabim if the liquid was?
Water.
Water. In which case does Rabbeinu Tam think it would be dosh?
Anything else? The iron or...
Yeah, but if you wanted the liquid. That's at least how Rabbeinu Tam sees it. Right? He says, if you want the liquid, then no matter what liquid, it's dosh. If you don't want the liquid, you just want to dry your cloth, then only with water, it's malabim.
So nobody says it's not malabim.
Nobody says malabim's not shayin svita. Because nobody says it's purely a dosh issue and not a liba issue. At least that I know of. Now, what's sort of underlying this machlokas? So, why do I understand Rabbeinu Tam and Rishon? He says, well, there are two of malachas that are shayin here. Svita can be one of two things. Why does the Ram and the Ramban think it can only be malabim, but it can't be dosh? Doesn't it seem like it should be chashash of dosh? Right, so that's what most, well, express this different ways. There's why is this not dosh? I apologize. Can you read the green?
Yeah,
okay. Why is there no chashash of dosh according to the Rambam and the Ramban? So there are different ways people formulate this. Some people say, because it's not gidule karka. That's what the Ramban himself says. That's what the Ramach says the Rambam holds. What does it mean not gidule karka, though? I mean, what if it is gidule karka, right? What if you have oil in a cotton cloth? That's, or a linen cloth, there it is. The linen comes from the ground. Well, I assume what they mean is it's not sort of the natural form of the gidule karka. What?
Is the cloth or the liquid gidule
karka? That's an interesting discussion in the Achronah. Like, which one do we care if it's gidule karka or not? Most Achronim seem to be noted that it's the cloth that we care about. But again, I think what they mean is that what they mean by not gidule karka is the same thing the Yoros HaMeach suggests. He says it's like Rashi on Daf Kof Mem Hey Amin Aleph, right? That it didn't grow there. I mean, there are different theories. I think most of the theories come down to the same point. If you say it's not gidule karka, I mean, the Eglei Talith throws out the Svara. Although not in this context, it's gidule karka means it has to grow in the ground that way. And like clothing doesn't grow on the ground with oil. You know, which may be similar to what Rashi's getting at in that book of Mem Hey, you know, the question of Shlokos are not the Oraisa Srita, because they didn't sort of grow that way together. That's not Srita Dosh is things that come together as they grow. So that seems to be the mainstream way. There are other ways also that are going to explain for the Rambam, but the mainstream approach seems to be such not no shaykhs of Dosh here, because it didn't naturally grow there, and that's not called Gidule Karka. Look, and if you're looking all the Achronim and the Rambam, there's various theories. Okay, Let's summarize then. What is the din of squeezing garments? Right? Let's take a sort of halachic summary. So, let's start with malabim. Is it malabim? Yes. Everyone agrees squeezing the begadim out of their lipids can be malabim, because part of the laundry process is to squeeze out the laundry. Anyone who's ever seen anyone do laundry the old-fashioned way knows that when you take your begad out of the river, you squeeze, you wring out all the water. As much as that, we do that also. We just don't notice, because everyone knows in a washing machine, after it washes, it has a spin cycle. What's a spin cycle? It just spins around really hard, so it squishes all the begadim against the wall of the washer. That's a centrifugal something force.
Centrifuge.
This centripetal or centrifugal. Whatever it is, it's like the gravitron of the amusement park. So, and that just squeezes the begadim and gets all the liquid out of there. So, it's definitely malabim. The question is, though, in which mashkin is it shayach to talk about malabim? And here, we have a bunch of different shitas. Right, when is it shayach to talk about malabim? So, the Beis Yosef reads the Rambam, which is, it's actually a big machlokes achronim had to read the Rambam. The Beis Yosef is, you have to look through all the Rambams, there's total stiras and diukim all over the place in the Rambam, but at least Beis Yosef reads the Rambam, that the Rambam says, the only chash anywhere in Shas it mentions, schita of clothing, is malabim, then it must mean that no matter which mashke you're talking about, it's called malabim to squeeze out that mashke. So that is the most machner shita, the Rambam, lefi Beis Yosef, although again, if you look at the achron and their mamish 50-50 split all over the place, so that the Rambam holds their skita and shar mashkin, or there's only skita and water. But the Rambam, they at least Beis Yosef understands the Rambam, that it applies to all mashkin. The base Bir Halacha also quotes that the Ram had this svara. The Ri also at least suggested this svara. Lav davka they all pass it like this. At least suggested this svara. All mashkin. No matter what mashkin you're squeezing out, that is a tolada of malabim. Now, of course, it's a little funny because all the other mashkas make it dirty. Only water makes it clean. So why should there be why should it be called malabim to squeeze out other mashkas that just make it dirty? So it could.
When if the liquid's already there, so squeezing it out, it's putting it in
the liquid. Right. So that's probably the more common svara the achronim give, that it could be that when the Rambam holds, assuming he holds this, is that even if this is a dirty liquid, let's say it has, it has coke in the becket. So that certainly doesn't make it any cleaner, but if you squeeze it out, it's at least cleaner than when it was full of coke. So, you're at least somewhat cleaning it by squeezing out this liquid, even if it's a dirty liquid.
Didn't the read that in the long coke list, if somebody quote the name of the read that, like with wine, it really good smell?
Okay, so we'll get back to that in a second. Good. The opposite of this is what Rabbeinu Tam says in the beginning of the Tosfos in Shabbat Tav Kofi Aleph, especially in Ksubas Tav Vav, that's the main Tosfos, only Mayim, right? That seems to be a very popular sheet among the Mishonim as well. Others say that as well. That it's only Shayach Liban by Mayim. You only wash things in water. That makes them clean. Everything else makes it dirty. So this Menachat Salakotze, you could say squeezing out any liquid is within the lavin. Or you could say, no, only water is within malabim. Other liquids may or may not be dosh, that's a separate problem, but only water is malabim. Then it's possible you could have a pshara shita. I apologize. I put this around in the wrong place. The Ri suggests you could have a pshara shita, which is, which the Beis Yosef suggests here, that is what the Bir Halacha quotes in the name of the Ran, and the Beis Yosef also suggests it here, right? And Tosus brings up this possibility: Mayim or Yayin. Maybe either water or wine is considered bechlal libun, and if you squeeze it out, that's libun. But other liquids are not. What would be the svar for saying water or wine? Because other liquids are dirtying liquids, but water or wine are cleansing liquids. Hehi tesa, that wine is a liquid which you cleanse your clothes in. Zemaforish. Zemafor, even before that, Zemaforish pasuk. Anyone permits parsha by your feet? Osri lagefni ro velasa rekal b'niyaso, no. Ki bes by yayin levusho uvedamen avim suso. It says ki bes by yayin levusho. Now, obviously, that's just a, you know, an exaggerated figure of speech, but nonetheless, the Torah says ki bes by yayin levusho. You wash your clothes in wine, okay? So it must be that wine is a cleansing product. It makes it smell nice. It actually makes it clean, even if it has a bad color. It still makes it nice. So this is so the base Yosef suggests. That maybe ki bes by yayin, he didn't quote the pasuk, but ki bes by yayin of the show, that yayin is also a cleanser like water. And the fourth shita, the numbers by the way are just from Chumar to Kula, was the compromise of the Taz. The Taz pointed out that the Beis Yosef in one place says wine is cleansing, another place says it isn't. So what's the Taz's compromise?
Wine.
Yeah, a very reasonable compromise. Mayim or yayin lavan. He says, What kind of wine is the kind you might wash your clothes in the pasuk in Vayechi? Or white wine, not red wine. Because you don't want to make red wine makes it look dirty. White wine makes it look clean. So the Taz says maybe water or white wine have cleansing effects. And other liquids don't. So we have four shitas about whether malamish, meaning everyone could be malamish is shaykh. But four shitas about when it's shaykh. Maybe it's shaykh only to water. Only squeezing water is malamish. Maybe water or white wine, maybe water or any wine, although that seems a little strange to us, or maybe all mashkin, even if they're not exactly cleansing, squeezing them is still considered a type of malabim. That is, that's one issue. The other issue is, what about dosh? Is squeezing water out of a beged considered dosh? So here we also seem, here we have seem to have three shitas. So the Rambam Narban, the Rambam, I'll also go, also make the higher number the most makil. The Rambam and the Ramban say no, it's just not shayach dosh when you squeeze water out of the gadim. So that's not considered gedulei karka, it didn't grow there, it's not shayach of a dosh at all. Just not shayach. Then we have the shita of Rabbeinu Tam and the Aruch and others. What's the shita of Rabbeinu Tam and the Aruch? That it is shayach of a dosh when you squeeze liquid out of clothes, but only if you want the liquid. Not if it's holeich l'iva. So this is the Aruch and Rabbeinu Tam, etc. Yes, but only if you want the mashke. Of course, within this, there are two different reasons you could give for why it's only dosh if you want the mashke, but not if it's holeich l'iva. What are the two different reasons you could give for this? What are the two different reasons you could say it is dosh, but if it's holech le'ibud, it's mutter, right? That's what he's basically saying. Holech le'ibud is mutter. Why? If it's shaykh dosh, it's shaykhus of dosh, what are the two different reasons which Rishonim could give for saying if it's holech le'ibud, it's mutter? So the Aruch's reason is because of psik resha dilo nichale, meaning he says if it's going le'ibud, then it's a psik resha dilo nichale, it's kultar kula, psik resha dilo nichale is mutter. See, but at least call Malachas Shabbos. What's the other reason you could give for why, if it goes le'ibud, it's not a problem? What we discussed last time, Kvash Mishlachas Shasachta Legufan Mutter. We quoted from Rashi and Daf Kof Ben Hey and Tosfos Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis and all the Rishonim. So it's just it's not shaykh. It's not a gather of dosh unless you want to get the thing out. It's a special rule. That's what we should say. Sometimes certain avalos, there's special rules that they only apply if you have certain kavanas. This is what the is it coming from the Taz? One second. The Magen Avraham quotes this from the Magen Mishnah, the Rivash, and the Rashba. The Magen Avraham, Sivkat Mechav Gimel,
quotes from the Rashba, the Rivash, and the Magid Mishnah, says it's just not dosh. It's not the gedder, it's not the derif of dosh unless you want to get the thing out. If you don't want the thing, if it's lagufan, lagufan is not dosh. As we see from the Sugya Daf Kuf Mehinam Aleph. So there are two different studim, we'll see how this will turn out, come into play in the Maisa. Two different studim why you could say this middle shita that it's shaykhus of dosh, but not if it's holochal ibud. Either because holochal ibud is a psik rational nichole, you didn't want to squeeze it. And you don't benefit from the squeezing. Or you could say it's just not shaykhus of dosh. Of course, there's an afkamina. The Aruch would only be makel if you weren't intending to squeeze it. The Rashba, the Rivash, and those others would be makel even if you weren't intending to squeeze it, as long as you didn't want the liquid. Now, the third shita is, of course, that it's dosh even if it's holech le'ibud. Right? Yes, it is dosh to squeeze a liquid, even if it's holech le'ibud. There's no excuses. It's always dosh to squeeze a liquid out of the cloth. Oh, what about fashim shlachos shesachta legufan?
It's a different.
So what? What'd you say? So it could be. Again, there are two, but these are almost the same. Subtly different ways of saying it. The re says that fashim shlachos are mutter because it's uchla de ifras. He says, yeah, kvashim shlakas were matter legufan. Because that's ochla de ifras, that's not real dosh. Real dosh is usser, bein legufan, bein lemeveichim. And then the Ran says it slightly differently. The Ran says, by things that are the derech, we make gzeira. Right? The Ran is just, it's a little bit of the shita just cause makes a little more sense, the Prim Gadim explains. He says, look, Rabbi Yochanan holds that Fashim Shlokas are Daraisa, and he's still not to the Gufan. So it can't be because Fashim Shlokas are not real Dash Daraisa. It's because Fashim Shlokas is not the Derech to be Sochik for the Mayim, so they weren't those on the Gufan. But things which are the Derech to be Sochik for the Mayim, like wine and oil, they were Gozer, even the Gufan. So it's slightly different as the Re sort of sees it as it's always a gether of Dash the Gufan, at least if it's Dash Daraisa. While the Ran sees that really it's not a getter of dash legufan, but the things that it's the derech that you might come to the derech and they made exeira. But these are the three basic shitas. Either it's not shaykh dash at all, or it's shaykh dash, but not if it's holech li'ibud. Either not if it's holech li'ibud because it's sick ratio nichole, or not if it's holech li'ibud because that's just not called dash. Or the third shita, which is the Ran and the Re, that even if it's holech li'ibud, it's still called dash, at the very least, in things which are like real dash and it's the derech that you might come to do in the derech. This is the basic. These are the basic issues which underlie all these sifrim. Now we just have to apply them and see how we paskin. So let's go to the Shulchan Aruch. Seif Tesvav tells us, also lefrosud al pichavis v'litan agav v'aflisha dolim bol shema yavlu de'slita, that you're not allowed to spread a kerchief over your barrel and put the what do we call that klisha dolim bol? The ladle, right? You're not allowed to put the ladle down on this kerchief that you've spread as a cover over your barrel. Shema yavali desli, because you might accidentally forget the Shabbos and squeeze out this kerchief when it gets too wet. Aval begad osui lifras lo motor shenu choshel l'sachto. But that's if it's a real kerchief like that you wear. But if it's a beged, right? That's what your wife's tefillin. But if it's a special cloth barrel cover that's only made for covering barrels, then why would you want to do slita? Like, what do you care if it's wet? It doesn't bother you. So he says you're not makan al meima. This is based on the principle in the Gemara in a few places that it's always usher to get your clothing wet, lest you forget it's Shabbos and do slita, which would be an av malacha of malabing or dash. According to the Rambam, the Rambam would be an av malacha of malabing. According to the Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim, then maybe in water it would be an av malacha and other liquids maybe. Unclear, maybe it would be not malach of dash, but anyway, we're worried that you might do schita. The whatever of malacha that is. But the rule is, begachin umakbid al meimav, if there's something that you're not really makbid if it gets wet, it doesn't bother you that it gets wet, because it's supposed to be used for that. Right? And there's a little bit of machlokas in the Beis Yosef. Like, how do we know what to call ino makbid al meimav? Right? You're, again, you're regular clothing for sure. Right? That's why you're not supposed to walk through water on Shabbos unless you go into a mitzvah. Because if you walk through water and your socks get all wet, then a normal thing to do might be to take them off and bring them out so they won't be so wet. You're makbid al meimav. So where do you draw the line? So there, he calls the Rebbe Yerucham wanted to say maybe that it's like depends if it's clothing or not clothing. But Rashi and the Rambam said a much more straightforward gedder. If it's meant to be used with this liquid, then it's ino makbid al meimav. If it's meant for some other purpose and you happen to be using it with the liquid, then you might come to squeeze it out when you want to use it for its other purpose, and that's called makbid al meimav. And that's what we generally assume, halacha lemaisa, that if you have, you know, if you have any type of, and there's a big machlokes exactly where to draw the line, but if you have something which you're supposed to use in a dry way, not to get wet, it's not supposed to be used to get wet, but you somehow you want to use your shirt to wipe up a spill or something, you know, assuming a big spill which makes it really wet, then that's aser zemishim snita. But if it's something that's supposed to get so wet, now let's say there's a rag that's supposed to, you know, wash the, you know, wipe, absorb the spill on the floor, then we're not worried about snita because that's what it's supposed to be. So why would you do snita? It's okay for you if it gets wet. Then it's no problem. The Mishnah Berurah here goes into some of the details. He just points out that here we're talking about putting the ladle on. He says, what difference does it make if you put the ladle or not? In the end, he passes it. Look, if there's water or wine in the barrel, then it's always usser, because your cloth will get, your kerchief will, your tefillah will get wet, and you'll come to squeeze it out. What we mean here is, maybe even if there's not wine in the barrel, but you're just putting the wet ladle on it every time you ladle something, that's also a problem. You also spill a lot of wine out, and it's a problem. Basically, any case where you're going to end up getting it very wet is a problem, whether it's that you're going to get it wet from the water in the barrel when you tilt the barrel, or whether it's that you're going to get it wet because all the water that you drop out of the ladle. Either way, that's a problem. In Tet Zayin, he tells us, Aser lahadek mochen fi pachshish v'mashkim shem schiter. You're not allowed to squeeze, let's say, little rag or cloth to use as a like a bottle cover. If you have a flask of liquids, because of schita. Meaning, I guess before they invented bottle caps, right? What if you have a Coke bottle and you want to close it up? You don't have a cork before they invented corks, so you just squeeze in a little rag. That's usher because of schita. What exactly does he mean by the isser because of schita? So here it's sort of funny from the Torah and the Lashon of the Rambam. It sounds like it's a gzeira lest you do schita. There's maybe it'll get so wet and you'll do schita, which is what the Lashon of the Gemara sounds like. But the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, in the end, the Mishnah Berurah says no. It doesn't really make so much sense. This should be gzeira lest you do schita. Really, the problem is here. If you're squishing it into a little hole, that's not gzeira lest you do schita. It's a psigresha of schita, because if you stick it into the little hole, then for sure you're going to squeeze it out. So the Mishnah Berurah, again, it's not, seems to be machlokes Rishonim about this, but the Mishnah Berurah interprets at least Mishum Schita as meaning not that you might do Schita later, but that right now, as you squeeze it, you will end up accidentally doing Schita, and a Psik Resha is Usser. The Mishnah Berurah here also goes through, he says, it might be Leva, it might be Dosh, again, it depends on this machlokes. If you hold, like, you know, the Rambam, perhaps, and etc., then no matter what Mashkit is, Shash Leva. If you hold like a bina tam, then for water it's a chash libun. Okay, for other mashkin it's a chash of dosh. In Yud Zayin, he tells us, Svog ein mekan kaboyon ken yish beis achizak zir shem yisro. It's a mafurish mishnah, right, on Daf Kofim Gimel, that you can't use a sponge unless it has a handle. But a handle is okay. Now what difference does it make if it has a handle or not? So we all know that's a machlokas rishonim. Rashi and Rambam say the difference is whether it's a psik resha of schita or not. Right, now this is of course one little funny point. The Mechaber here says gzeira shem yischot, which is the long language of the Rambam. He makes it sound like the problem of the sponge, the gzeira you might do schita. The Mishnah Berurah and all the Achronim point out, all the Nosei Kehilim, the Magen Avraham, the Gra, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Gemara. that this is not a problem gzeira shem yiskot. This is a problem sikrisha shkita. Again, so how can Rambam say one thing is forcing or the other thing? So I and all the achronim we try to answer up the Rambam, but at the very least for halacha l'maisa, even though the lashon in the Rambam shulchan is gzeira shem yiskot, we assume like it says straight up in the Gemara there, it's not a gzeira lest you might later do shkita. It's that right now, as you use it, it's a psikresha that you're doing shkita. That's what the Mishmar says. The Chor is how we paskin. That's the Gemara says a psikresha of shkita. So if it's a psikresha of shkita, because everyone knows when you squeeze a sponge, the water or oil or whatever's in that sponge always comes out. Everyone knows that. So if it's a psikresha of shkita, then what difference does it make if it has a handle or not? So here's the big machlokas. Is the big machlokas Rishonim between Rashi and the Rambam? Mechad Yisa and the Ravid Meidach Yisa. Rashi and the Rambam say, what's the difference? First separation. If it has a handle, then if I go like this, lav dafka. It's not a separation that I'll do shkita. Who said I'll do shkita? I'm not really squeezing it so hard. Look, I'm just like lightly going like this. Where's the squeezing? But if it doesn't have a handle, then I have to hold it. And when I hold it, I got to grab it like this. And when I grab it, I'm doing shkita right now. My hands are already wet, even though it hasn't been used for a long time. Because the pressure of my fingers, if I'm gripping it tightly enough to use to wipe my table, then I'm gripping it tightly enough to do shkita. So that's rushing around. The point is I can't grip it tightly, but I can hold it by the handle and just run it over my table, because that won't do shkita. If I do this, there's no water here. No shkita. The Ravid has a more complicated shot. He says, no, really, either way, you can do shkita. That's not the difference. Different than the practical. The difference is halachic. Says, if it doesn't have a handle, then that's shkita. If it has a handle, that's not shkita. Because it's a different kind of kli. Says, if you pour water out of a pitcher, that's not shkita. So if it has a handle, it's like a pitcher. If it doesn't have a handle, it's like a cloth. Now, what exactly he means is not so pashut. The Chazon Ish, at least, wants to say what he means is this. Which is that, well, this is a general sheet of the Chazon Ish. You might have come across this once or twice. Which he says in everything. Okay, but electricity, but of course he has a reason for why he violates his own rule there. He says, anything that really you just use, like back and forth, is not a melacha. Right, which he gets from the Magen Avraham, I think is the earliest example of this, right? If you close the door, that's not boneh. Why is closing the door not boneh? Because it's made to be open and closed. That's not boneh and soser. Or boneh either way, maybe. So it says likewise, right? If you screw the top onto your thermos, that's not boneh. Because it's made to be open and closed, or soda bottle, etc. So he says, look, if you have a cloth, that's not made to hold water and to pour out water, So that is takaschita. But if you have a special kli that's specially made to hold water and to squeeze out the water, or mashka, to hold mashka, absorb and squeeze out, absorb and squeeze out, absorb and squeeze out. That's like pouring out of a pitcher. That's just using the kli. That's not schita. So at least this is how the Chazon Ish means the Ravid. So if you put a handle in the sponge, then you've transformed the sponge from a raw material into a specialized kli by putting a handle on it. So you've now transformed this identity. It is no longer a raw material. It's a special water-holding or liquid-holding kli. Therefore, it's not shkita. But if you have a sponge without a handle, that's just a raw material found in nature. You haven't done anything to transform it into a special kli. You might have had machshava, but you haven't done a maisa to transform it into a special kli. Since you haven't done anything physical to transform its identity, it's still considered just a sponge. And if it's just a sponge, then it's a problem of shkita. That is the way the Ravid explains the Chazon Ish, at the very least. According to that, nowadays the Ravid should make on all our sponges. They're specially constructed for this purpose. L'chora, yeah. I mean, I didn't ask the Chazon Ish, but that's what you think. I'm not sure that's shot in the Ravid. I thought maybe you could say it different. To me, the Ravid sounded like a little bit of a different point. Like, you know, if the sponge is full of water, so the sponge is the carrier of the water, so that's shkita. But the sponge is on the stick, then the stick is independent of the water, so it makes the sponge also an independent entity of the water. The sponge is an independent entity, it's just holding the water. It's not the shell of the water. You know, if it's on a stick, then it shows it's a separate cleave. It just happens to hold water. So maybe that's not schlita. But if it's not on a stick, then it's all tuffle to the water. Then that's schlita. But again, I'm not. It's very hard to tell exactly what the Ravid meant. But, you know, but maybe, you know, very hard to tell exactly what he meant. But Lamaisa, what comes out is pretty clear. On a stick, it's just not big. It doesn't even enter the gedder of schlita. Because it's just like pouring water from a pitcher. For whatever reason, either because the sponge is seen as somehow more separate and independent, or because it's just something that's meant to be done over and over again, b'derech tashmisho. If it's not on a stick, then it is b'geder schita. That is the pshat of the Chazon Ish. Now, the nafka mina, either way we can arrive at it, and the Rashi and Rambam, should be fairly obvious. The main nafka mina, I think, should be, according to the Ravid, once it's on a stick, you can squeeze it as hard as you want. It's just not, doesn't enter the world of schlita. According to Rashi and the Rambam, the heter of being on a stick is that you don't really squeeze it hard. But if you would squeeze it hard, it would still be usur. You know, what if I took this sponge and I went like this? And I squeezed it really, really hard and got a lot of big puddle of water. The Rav would say, that's fine. It's not schlita. It's pouring out of a pitcher. Rashi and the Rambam, lachor, would say, that's usur. Because then I'm really squeezing it. The whole heter of the stick is that I could use it without squeezing. But if I squeeze it, I've ruined the stick heter, according to Rashi and the Rambam. That's a big nafka mina. We'll have to figure out who's right in about 2 minutes. Now, any questions so far? Okay, there's also one little din in the Bir Halacha here deals with what about if you use a dry sponge without a stick? Like, did they make a general gzeira to asur all sponges, or the gzeira only applies to wet sponges? He's not sure. Louis, you know, if there's interstitial sponges, did they sort of extend it to make a low plug, or not? Say he leaves Bitzarich E in the issue of a dry sponge.
This is how the Chazon Ish has had their derech tashmisho. Wouldn't that make anything better as long as it's the way you use the cleave?
Yeah. Okay. It would. No, that doesn't mean you could use the cleave. That doesn't mean if the way you use a pen is to write, you're allowed to write.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that since the way you use the pen, it's mutter to write on the paper. That just means whatever you do to the pen is mutter if it's the way you use the pen. Obviously, if I use a hammer or a nail, it's still usser, because that's not the way you use a nail on a wall. But what it means is any change to the hammer which occurs during using the hammer, the Chazon Ish is not worried about. But obviously, if I use the hammer to make a change in the wall, then that's not the way of using the wall, that's the way of fixing the wall. So the Chazon Ish's heter is not that I can use something to fix something else, but that using something is not considered fixing of it itself. So if I use a sponge, that can't be considered a fixing or sleeping a sponge, that's just using the sponge. If I use a door, that can't be considered fixing the door, building the door, that's just using the door. But of course, if I use a hammer to hammer a nail, so I'm not doing the melacha of the hammer, but I am doing the melacha of the nail. So that's you know, that would be the limit to the Chazon Ish.
Would you say that using a sponge is using it to be made because you want the water to go out and then to wash the
dishes? So this is a very, 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 very tricky issue. What exactly are people thinking when they use a sponge? Is very unclear to me. You know, it's... hold on a second. You know, let's... Okay. The... you know, what exactly are people thinking when they use a sponge? Is that lemei mehem, or is that legufo?
According to the Rabbi, you're in the meaning. According to the Rabbi, even lemei mehem is mutter.
No, I'm just saying. Let's say you use a sponge without a stick. Let's say you use a regular kitchen sponge, right? A regular old-fashioned sponge. Are you using that lemei mehem or legufo? Or forget a sponge. Let's say you use like a wet paper towel, or you use a wet rag, or you use a baby wipe. Is that lemei mehem? Meaning, do you want to squeeze it out? Or do you not want to squeeze it out? It's a little unclear. I want to get back to that in a minute.
And the fact that you're using a sponge versus any other kind of device, I think it's clear that you want the man.
Yeah, why do we use a sponge to wash dishes?
Because it holds...
I mean, I don't think they use a sponge to wash dishes in time of Chazal. I think the sponge was to wash the wipe the tape.
Because it holds the soap, and this way you don't have to keep on using more soap.
Because the sponge...
It's an efficient way to clean to get water.
Doesn't it also hold the water?
And it'll hold water. You need both.
So when we use a sponge, that's lemei mehem, right?
But you don't necessarily want the water to come out. You might just want the water to stay on the surface.
What?
You might just want to stay on the surface, because that, and that's the most efficient at keeping the water on the surface.
Right. So this is, well, the truth is that this is a big discussion when it comes to, like, sponges and wiping things, etc. This seems to be a big machlokas, whether it's Lamei Mehim or the Gufa, and we'll have to see whether that has an apamina or not. But there's a footnote about this in the Shmir Shabbos. Where's the footnote in the Shmir Shabbos about this? Where's the footnote in the Shmir Shabbos? I'm not sure if I remember. Let me just look for a second. Anyway, he brings down a machlokas achronin. He wants to say it's a machlokas achronin, where then we wipe something with a wet cloth. That's considered the gufa and the main mayhem. Moshe Feinstein seems to assume that you don't want the water to come out. I don't know, it's very hard for me to figure out exactly how to view this. Now, what would be the nafkamina? Right? Either way, it's us to use a sponge, not on a stick. Right? And as whether it's a gufa or lemei mehem, it would be a chashah of a labing if there was water involved. Right? Your washing sponge or the rag or whatever it is. And it would be a chashah of dash according to, you know, the third sheet to here anyway. So let's see if that would have enough green. Let's come back to it in a moment. But for now, that's the issue of svog. Now the question is going to be, can I use this? So for sure, I can use this in the case in which Chazal we're talking about, to wipe my table. The question is just, can I use this to wash my dishes when I squeeze really hard or not? So that seems to be an afkamina. Now if I squeeze really hard between the Ravid and the Rashi and the Rambam, according to the Ravid, I can squeeze it as hard as I want because it's like pouring out of a pitcher. It's just not a chashash of dush at all. According to Rashi and the Rambam, it would be usher to squeeze it hard, because when I squeeze it hard, that's schita. The whole heter of the stick is that I wasn't going to squeeze it, but if I squeeze it, that's schita. I think Rav Schechter, apparently when shown this particular sponge on a stick, said it was mutter because we hold like the Ravid. But I think we'll see that doesn't seem to be the mainstream halacha. And I was just thinking now let's come back to it in a moment. Okay, let's look at Yurches. Yurches is the famous case of Misuchraya Dinazaisa. Why is this case famous? It's famous because this is in Gemara it's famous, not necessarily because of Schita, but because this is the case where they always say, oh, it's a Darshin of Miskavein. And they say, oh, but it's still also because Moder of Shimon v'psik reisha v'lo yomus. This is like one of the classic examples of Shas to illustrate. They say, look, squeezing out this sukhraya din azaisa, this stopper made of cloth, I don't intend to squeeze it. I just intend to plug the hole. I don't intend to squeeze this. It should be mutter. No, psik reisha v'lo nichola, psik reisha v'lo yomus, it's also even Moder of Shimon. Then it's famous in the Rishonim, because this is one of the cases about where they argue about what about psik reisha v'lo nichola. So let's see how that comes across. There's a basic machlok Rishonim. What's the case in the Gemara? The Gemara says that Misuchraya Denezaisa, which is a cloth that stops up the hole. Lachor, it's a cloth that stops up, although one shot says otherwise, stops up a hole, some sort of stopper for a barrel, is usr, because it's a psik resha. So what exactly is the usr? So the Machlokas Rishonim, what's the case of Misuchraya Denezaisa? Right? The Re assumes, and many other Rishonim as well, that it's the normal case. It's a hole in the side of the barrel, right? Anyone remembers, like, these old westerns, etc., right? There were these barrels of drinks, and how would they drink them? They would just stick a faucet into the side, make a hole in the side, and that's how they would get the wine out. Right, and near the bottom of the side, obviously, so they get all the wine out. Right, it'd be very silly to make a hole on top, because then you're not going to be able to get the wine out very easily, unless you turn the whole barrel upside down, which is very heavy. But this is the barrel, you know. Then you make a hole right here, and you stick in a faucet, like in those old westerns, and that faucet, you get all the wine out, or whatever it was they were drinking. In the Gemara, it was wine. So if you plug that up with a cloth, and in the, at least in the case of Shulchan Aruch, the way he envisioned it, why would you use a cloth there? Because what you would do is you would make a hole, and you would like stick a faucet in that hole. But of course, they weren't so technologically advanced. Like, the faucet didn't exactly fit into the hole, and it would just leak out. You know, if here I there was a hole, and then I sort of filled it with a faucet, wouldn't it be totally full? There'd be some white space around there where the wine could leak out, because, you know, there's this faucet was hard, and the hole was hard, and there was not, you know, they wouldn't exactly fit into each other. There would be rough edges. So what would they do? Everything plumbers do that out of Yom HaZeh. They just don't use, you know, linen cloths. But you take a cloth. If this is the faucet, you take a cloth. Is this a cloth? Yeah. You take a cloth, and you sort of wrap it around here, and then you stick it in the hole, and so that cloth tightly wedges into all the space between the faucet and the hole and makes a sealed, you know, make, and seals it so that no wine can drip out unless you open the faucet. So that's Mr. Crichton Zeiser. What's the problem? The problem is you do schita. So Mr. Crichton Zeiser, also Laduk of Yom Tova and the Shabbos, it's also because of the schita. Now this is the way the Ri and other Rishonim interpreted the case. But this is controversial because Rabbi Tam and the Aruch did not accept this pshat. Because Rabbi Tam and the Aruch disagreed. They said if there's a hole in the side of the barrel, that would not be usher. Why would that not be usher? Because it wouldn't be dush, because it's holy clean. But there's a hole in the side of the barrel, and I'm squeezing. All that water that's being squeezed out is just going to drip down the wall of the barrel onto the floor. It's holy chli, but it's not dosh, and it's not malabe, because it's shar mashkin, it's not water. So Rabbeinu Tam and the Aruch had a problem, and they said, if it's shar mashkin, it's not a barrel of water, it's a barrel of wine. If it's shar mashkin, it's not shayach malabe. Then there's, if you look in Tosa, all these rayas, is there malabe in the shar mashkin, is there not, is tita Sharmashkin Malabin or not, thinking for all the rayas. Tom held it's not Malabin. As we saw, there's a shita, there's no Malabin in Sharmashkin. And there's no dush, as we saw. There's a shita that there's no dush in the Tolik Le'ibud, either because of internal dush reasons or because of general principle of segregational nichalik, which is where the Aruch was coming from. So they held that it couldn't be a hole in the side, because then it wouldn't be usher at all, because you don't want the liquid and you're not cleansing the cloth. So what's the problem? So how did they have to interpret the case? How did Rabbeinu Tam and the Aruch interpret the case in the Sefer Ha'edin Zaisa? The hole was on top. Again, it's obviously not the first way you would think to interpret the case, because you don't usually make holes on top, but sometimes there are holes on top. You might want to stop them up for some reason, even though it's not like the most obvious way to interpret it. It's possible. So it was a hole on top, and a hole on top, then which Av Malach is it? Dush, because whatever is squeezed out drips into the barrel. So you get to drink it. So it's nicha to you that it gets squeezed out. You want the liquid that gets squeezed out. So that's classic dush. You want the liquid that gets squeezed out of the cloth. There is a third sheet, which is also mentioned in some places, that Rabbeinu Tam brings from the Aruch, which is lesser known, which is a more radical sheet, which says that it's a totally different pshat. That really, it's bone, and we're not talking about schita at all. The problem here is not a discussion of wringing out the little pkak you put in, but the problem is you're putting in a very heavy-duty stopper, and you're going to leave it there for a long time, and it might be considered fixing the barrel and being bone a new a barrel. Not a new barrel, being bone of the barrel. So there's a third shot, which takes it totally into a different realm, which says we're not talking about squeezing, and we're not talking about cloths. All says Misukhraya, something that stops it up. We're talking about putting in a permanent stopper to stop up a hole, which is a psik ratio of building, because you're building a complete barrel. Okay, that shot, which the Aruch brings up in Tosfos quotes, is in a totally different realm. Now, Lemaisa, what comes out of this? What comes out is Pasha. This case is definitely Usher if the hole's on top. If the hole's on top, let's say that's definitely Usher. If you're building, why? Because you're mevatel the stima. By mevatel, I mean you leave it there permanently, right? You're not putting in a temporary measure to stop it up while you're using it in this way, but you're permanently patching up the barrel. Okay, then it's also, that's a bone issue. You can't permanently fix the barrel. If you have a hole on top, for sure, that's also, that's a dush issue. Right? Oh, no, I shouldn't say for sure, because there's a Ram on the Ram. But let's say for sure, La Loch. This is a machlokus. The hole on the side is the machlokus between the Ri versus Rabbi Natan, or many, many other Rishonim as well. And that's where the Shulchan Aruch starts from here. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Yudches, Chavis Shep Kako Bukak Shel Pishton List of Nekim Shep Dovna Shemot Tzion Bo Ayayin. And if you have a barrel that you stop with a linen stopper to stop off the hole where you take the wine out of, Yesh Misha Mater Alfishi Efshe Shelo Yisrod. Some people are, there is someone who's Mater, even though it's a Psik Resha of Shechita, even though it's a Psik Resha of Shechita, V'hushlo Yitachtav Kli, as long as you don't put a cup under the hole. So if you would put a cup, you know, if this was your, again, here's your barrel, and here's your hole, and here's where you're sticking it in, and you put a cup here to catch whatever wine drips out, then, avadis aser, then that's just as bad as a hole on top. You want the wine that drips out. So that's for sure aser. Right, when are some people not, yeah?
What is their cup? Is there just to protect the floor?
What if the cup is there just to protect the floor? Then, well, that has to do a little with the issue of the Taz and the Bir Aloch a little later. But I'll be pashta. So it seems to be the mainstream approach the Bir Aloch includes is that that would be within the machlokes of the Aruch. So that, if you put a cup here, then it becomes the same as a hole on top. You're using the wine that comes out. That's classic Disha. At least according to, you know, the everyone but the Rambam and the Ramban. So that's for sure us. The machlokas is, if you don't put a cup there, if it's holech li'iba, that machlokas is holech li'iba. What about dish of holech li'iba? What about kashrum shlokas l'gufan? Wait, not kashrum here, it's pishtan, wine-soaked linen, l'gufan. So that's the case. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Some people are matir. Why? D'chim shen inen of skita zu, since you don't benefit from the skita, have a psik resha, it's a psik resha, d'lo nichalei umotr. Meaning, he could have chosen two ways to explain why holech li'iba is mutter. Either says not beget or dash, or because of psikration lo nichalei. He chooses the kashrut and the arach psikration lo nichalei. He says the arach is matter because of psikration lo nichalei. And the choko love yamur davagav the lo nichalei came in psikration aser. But choko love, it's clear which way the Shulchan Aruch is leaning. Yeshmi, shemater, and choko love the amru. Meaning that she does yachid that's matter. And then the rabbin were cholik on him and said that even though it's psikration lo nichalei, it's still aser. Let's stop here. So far, what the Shulchan Aruch has done is he's analyzed this issue and he's taken it from the perspective of Psik Reish Lo Nichalei, saying if it's not Holech Le'ibud, if you're catching the wine, that's Aser. If it's Holech Le'ibud, then, according to the Aruch, it's Mutter, because it's a Psik Reish. Again, you're not intending to squeeze any wine out. You're just intending to stop up the barrel. So it's a Psik Reish that the wine is coming out, and it's Holech Le'ibud, so it's Lo Nichalei for sure. So the Aruch is Mutter, but the other people are Cholech on him and Asered. So what does the Shulchan Aruch seem to tell us? Let's take now a five-minute, break, but a five-minute detour, and sort of summarize the issue of Sikrei Shedul Nichalei before we get back to the meat of Shechita. But the Shulchan Aruch tells us, look, there's an Aruch that's Matam Sikrei Shedul Nichalei, but everyone else is Cholek and Asers. This matches what he says in the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef basically said, all the Rishonim come out against the Aruch. Not all the Rishonim come against the Aruch, but the truth is, the majority of Rishonim certainly do come against the Aruch. It's a famous machlok is what the Rambam holds, because the Rambam doesn't even mention the word Psik Reish Lo Nichalei. You know, it's, so the question is what, but what, even if he doesn't acknowledge that phraseology, but what does he hold the mice on the issue? So, a big machlok is hard to tell what he holds, but we don't know what the Rambam holds. Certainly most Rishonim end up against the Aruch, only minority Rishonim like the Aruch. The Beis Yosef quoted, everyone's against the Aruch except Rabbeinu Yerucham says Ramek. So there's a lot of baskins against the Aruch. We are not so meich on the Aruch. And that's halacha maisa. That's pretty much halacha psuka. Even though the Taz wants to say, our minhag is to rely on the Aruch. Here, Taz says, we squeeze our vegetables, our like kvashim. So therefore, we must hold like the Aruch. Ringgit already points out, no, that's ridiculous. Everyone agrees kvashim ishlak is the goof on his mutter. That has nothing to do with the Aruch. That's a first gemara. Dav kuf mehein b'nasech ha-shabbos. So, the Mishnah Berurah and the later Rechonim say, we don't hold like the Aruch L'maisa. The Achronim generally assume, most of the Achronim assume, we don't hold like the Aruch, we hold like Rav Rishonim. Even Psik Reish Lo Nichalei is
even a psik reichet lo nichle is usser. The achrutim afarshim here bring in some details here. Like, for example, the Bir Halacha points out this very, very vast majority opinion, the Achronim, that a psik reisha de lo ich pasle, which is the sort of the phrase people use right nowadays, if you don't really care either way, what if you're not happy, you're not sad? Right over here, you're sad, you're losing wine, it's going to waste in the ground. Or you could be happy, you're getting wine in your barrel to drink. What if you just don't care either way? So it's pretty mokra for all of Shas, that if you don't care either way, that's called psik reisha de lo nichle, the earth would be makel there. Anything where, even if you're neutral, that's not nichle. So neutral or negative is called lo nichle, and there's a machlokes in the Aruch and the other Rishon. Only if you're happy, that's psik reisha de nichle, and everyone agrees it's usher. They also point out that even though we reject the Aruch and we say psik reisha de lo nichle is usher, Tosfos says mefurish all over Shas that even though it's usher, it's potter. Everyone agrees psik reisha de lo nichle is not isher daraisa, it's potter on the daraisa level. Why? Why do even we agree that psik reisha de lo nichle is potter mi daraisa and only isher darabanan? Because every psik reisha de lo nichle is automatically a malach hashen tzrich legufa, and we all malach hashen tzrich legufa is potter. Malach hashen tzrich legufa means you're not doing it for its own reason. If it's just an unintended effect that you don't even want, then obviously you're not doing the malach for its own reason. That's what Tosfos points out.
But all the Rishonim agree with that, or
all the Rishonim agree with that. Again, what do I mean by all the Rishonim? I don't mean I check every single Rishonim ever
say it, or
double
just,
check, but almost all the Rishonim say it, and none of them deny it. The reason is seems fairly poshut. I mean, again, you can get out of this, but the Gemara on Daf, where is it? Kuf. What Daf is? Ovid Ba'arid Dechabrid. Kuf Gimel Amin Aleph? Yeah, the Gemara says, how could it be a case where you're gathering grass and you're not chayer for Zoreya for improving the growth of the other plants? So it's Ovid Ba'arid Dechabrid, you're doing it in someone else's field, and it's not your field. So that's why you're potter. So the earth says, Akses, Psik Reishad Lo Nichole, you don't want it. Which is where it's clear that he says, even if it's neutral to you, it's your friend's meal, but you just don't care either way. That's the Aruch would be making. Tosa says, no, really it is usser. Why does Gemara say potter? It's potter because of Lash Chain Sikhla Gufa, but it's still usser. So that's why pretty much everyone has to agree to that raya. To the best of my knowledge, everyone agrees. When the Mishnah Berurah here says, everyone agrees, to the best of my knowledge, it's a real everyone. Well, again, you always find some obscure Shita says differently. That psik reisha de lo nichle is for sure. At worst, an Isser Drabbanan, because it's Melach Shein Shrich Legufa, and according to the Aruch, it's Heter Gomer, because it's considered in the category of Davar She'eino Miskavi. But it's definitely one category. The only question is which. Aruch says, it's Eino Miskavi. You don't even intend to do it. Oh, you're for sure going to do it. But if you don't want the result, then you're not intending at all. Well, Tosfos and Rav Rishonim would say, no, you did intend to do it, because it's for sure going to happen. But you didn't intend for the purpose. It's Melach Shein Shrich Legufa, so it's an Isser Drabbanan.
How does the Aruch explain why it's not a
Darshan Sukhla? Oh, maybe it is, but it's also a Darshan Miskavi, so who cares? I mean, you're right, it's a Sukhla Gufa, but it's also a Miskavi, so we never even, you know, if you do a Darshan Sukhla Gufa, but there are Darshan Miskavi, then it's Heter Gomer.
Then every
Darshan
Sukhla Gufa is also a Darshan Miskavi.
No, because the Aruch would say the difference between Psikrational Nichle and Darshan Sukhla Gufa, the Aruch, Tosfos would say there is none. The Aruch would say, if I intend to now, again, if you're going to go through Shas and make me actually defend this, then I am admitting right now I will fail, and so will pretty much everyone else alive, although, you know, I'm sure someone is up to the task out there, but no one that I've met. But the way all the Achronim say, even though it's very hard to get it to work in every single place the Aruch discusses it, is that if I intend to do the action, but not for the purpose, that's Melach Shein Shrich Legufa. But if I intend to do action A, and that also causes action B, and I don't want the purpose of action B, that's Psik Reisha de lo Nichle. So the Aruch would say, if I intend to do action A, and I don't want the purpose, that's Melach Shein Shrich Legufa, it's an Isser Drabbanan. But if I intend to do action A, which also causes action B, and I don't want the purpose of action B, then we say, I'm not even Miskavi to B at all. That's Davar She'eino Miskavi, Psik Reisha de lo Nichle. Is called Davar She'eino Miskavi, and that is Heter Gomer according to the Aruch. Again, how exactly to draw the line is complicated, but just, I guess, you know, to give the sort of most obvious examples, you know, if I have a, you know,
This is actually a little tricky, but okay. I have a smelly object in my house. This is actually gets a little tricky. What's a... I have a, a bomb that's about to explode. A grenade is about to explode in my house, and I throw it out the door. I've done Hotsah, but I don't want the grenade outside. I just want to get rid of it from blowing me up. I don't need the grenade where it is. So I've done a Hotsah, purposely done a Hotsah, but I just didn't need the object of the Hotsah. I don't need the grenade anywhere. So that's Mokshin Shich Lagufa. But on the other hand, if I'm trying to seal the hole in the barrel, and that also causes squeezing liquid out of a cloth, and I don't want the liquid coming out of the cloth, that's called Shikresh Lo Nichli, because not only don't I want the liquid out of the cloth, I didn't even intend to squeeze the liquid. I just intended to seal the barrel. So if it's a different pa'ula, and I don't want the result, that's called Shikresh Lo Nichli, which the Torah says is a Dabar Sheni Miskavi. I'm not even miskavi to squeeze. We would say that's called miskavi. What's the machlokus between us and the Aruch? Everyone agrees if it's lo nichle, that's called ein tzricha legufa. So at worst, it's an issur d'rabbanan. It can't be issur d'oraisa. You can't be chayav chatas because you don't want the result. How could you be chayav chatas? The machlokus is this: when I do action A, which also causes action B, so there are two cases. If I do action A and it might cause action B, and taka it happens in the end, that's called davar she'ena miskavi, and that's totally okay. So I didn't mean to do B, it just might have happened. If I do action B and it for sure causes action B, it's called psik resha, moda resha, psik resha, lo yamasi. Even though I was only thinking about A, I'm also considered miskavi for B, and therefore it's a davar ha-miskavi. What if I do action A and it also causes B, but I don't want B? It's not nicha, not only don't I intend B. I don't even want it to happen. Right? There's a difference between intending and wanting. Right? If I open the fridge and the light goes on, that's a psik ratio of turning on the light, because I didn't intend to turn on the light. But it's a psik ratio of nichalei. I didn't intend to turn on the light, but taka. It's good for me to have light. It benefits me to have light. I'm happy that there's light. I mean, forget about whether I'm upset I was b'chal Shabbos, but physically I'm happy to have light. That's psik ratio of nichalei. And that's considered miskavi. If I have a weird fridge that only sometimes turns on the light, and I open the door and the light turns on, that was davar she'ena miskavi, because I didn't even know if it was happening. I didn't even intend to turn on the light. What if I open up the fridge and instead of turning on the light, I guess not open the fridge. What if I open up my front door and the alarm goes off for no reason and disturbs me and wakes up my kids and annoys my neighbor? So that's a psik resha de lo nichalei. So Tos says, you still intended to do it because you know that when you open the door, the alarm goes off. So that's psik resha, it's usur, midrabanan, because it's ein tzricha legufa. The Aruch would say no. Even though you knew the alarm would go off, since you didn't care or want the alarm, since you don't even benefit from the alarm going off, that's called ein miskavi. Even if you knew it would happen, if it doesn't help your life at all, then you're not really thinking about it. That's not called intending. So that's the machlokas. Is it called intending if I do A, knowing B will happen, but not caring that B will happen, but not benefiting from B happening? Tos says, if I know it'll happen, that's miskavi. Davar ha-miskavi. The Aruch says, even if I know it'll happen, if it doesn't change my life, it doesn't improve my life, then that's not miskavi. I'm not intending it. Okay. It's, Ruach HaMeh has a very nice lumdus on this. But that's the basic machlokas. The basic machlokas is it davar ha-miskavi or davar she'ena miskavi? But even if it's davar miskavi, that just means I was miskavi to the Maisa. I still wasn't miskaving to the result. I still am not benefiting from the result. So it's still a malach shein shrich legufa. Because malach shein shrich legufa means I intend the action, but I don't intend the result. Davar she'ena miskaving means I didn't even intend the action. And over here, the question is, Tosfos say, I intended the action, I just didn't intend the result. I knew it would happen, I just wasn't happy with the result. Well, the Aruch would say, even though I knew it would happen, that's not called intending if I don't get anything out of it. I wasn't intending even the action. Okay. That's the machlokas. Halacha lemaisa, we've seen that we lechora paskin, even though the Tassim say otherwise, we lechora paskin, not like the Aruch, we're machmer on this. I'm segregational and nichalei. This is not a Hilchos Shabbos issue, it's a big Kol Torah Kula issue. The Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham here quote from the Rush that even the Aruch was only makel on Shabbos, that you could call a segregational and nichalei inu miskavi. But in other Isurim, he'd admit that Hesegrational Nichli is called Miskavi. Which actually is not true. The Aruch, if you have to look in the Aruch himself, did not say that. He was Mekel even Kol Torah Kula.
But nonetheless, the poskim say that, you know, we don't rely on the Aruch, but we certainly wouldn't rely on the Aruch in other Yisurim that are not in Yonei Shabbos, because at least according to the Rosh, the Aruch didn't mean to be Mekel outside of Shabbos. And this is, you know, again, classic Lumdus. There's a Petur of Heter of Dov Shemus Kamen in Shabbos. There's a Heter of Dov Shemus Kamen and everything else in the Torah. And Nazar Chofu of Fasbeis. Nazar was Lashem who was here, even though he might pull out of here, which is Usher for Nazar, because Dov Shemus Kamen. So the Aruch himself assumes, yeah, there's one rule of Dov Shemus Kamen. He himself is made up. Separation below Nichali is called Onik Minimus Kamen. In Nazar, in Shabbos, in Avodah Zarah, anything in the Torah. In Basim Cholov, anything in the Torah. However, the Rosh has a lum that says no. In Cholov Torah, Kula, Dov Shemus Kamen is Mutter, because your mamish don't know what will happen. Upsik Rachel O'Nichla, you know what will happen. On Shabbos, Dov Shemus Kamen is Mutter, because it's not Meleches Machsheves. And as long as Lo Nichole, that's called not Meleches Machsheves. So because Shabbos has like a double, what they call it, Tzvedinim, if you're a brisker, of Dov Shemus Kamen. Number one, Dov Shemus Kamen is considered not a Mice in Kula Torah Kula. Number two, on Shabbos, it's not a Meleches Machsheves. Subsequent lo nichle is still a maisa in kol Torah kula, but on Shabbos is motor because it's not malach machshavas. That's the way the Rosh reads the lumdus of the yeter. Again, there's no nafkamina for alcha Shabbos, but there is a nafkamina for kol Torah kula. This comes up sometimes, but not. I wouldn't say this maisa b'chol yom and kol Torah kula. Subsequent lo nichle is much more common in alcha Shabbos. Halach lemaisa, we might recall that we discussed this previously, that even though we're machmer against the archim subsequent lo nichle, Tosos already brings up the possibility that in Drabbanans, maybe we can all be make like the Aruch, and we found a big mess about this. You know, it's very hard to find exact consistency, but the basic mahalach, at least in the Mishnah of Rura, seems to be that in a psychrasis, we have a double Drabbanan, we're really Mekel. Although, yeah, there are some cases where the rule doesn't work so well. Psychrasis, we have a single Drabbanan, we sort of waver. You know, we're only Mekel, you know, when we really have to. You know, we can be Mekel, but we're not always Mekel. No, so they're Mekel. Sorech or Mitzvah, etc. Now, that generally seems to be the Mahalach. I saw that actually Rabbi Willig wanted to say in an article in Beis Yitzchak, a very nice chiluk, that Psikreshlo Nichle Bechad Drabbanan depends on what kind of Drabbanan. Right, we all know, right, Rav Schechter wrote a famous article on this, but I think before Rav Schechter's article, people knew this also. There's two types of Yisur Drabbanan on Shabbos. There's a gzeira drabanan and a malacha drabanan, right? If I do a malacha, it's ain't tzrich legufa or it's b'shinoi. That's a malacha. It's a more machmir. It's a real malacha. Just technically, it went down to level drabanan. If I play music, that's not a malacha at all. It just might lead to fixing the guitar. You know, it's a gzeira. So there's a big difference. You know, a malacha which is just taken down to drabanan and a non malacha which they made a gzeira and said not to do. So I really wanted to say, very nice taina. That in a psikrational nichle b'chad rabbanan depends which drabbanan. If it's a psikrational nichle of a just a gzeira b'alma drabbanan, then you can be mekel. If it's a psikrational nichle of a malacha drabbanan, then only if it's a double drabbanan you can be mekel, not a single drabbanan. She said would explain, you know, the various different places the Mishnah Berurah discusses this, or at least the diukim from the poskim. So Rabbi Willig wants to make that chiluk that if it's a psikrational nichle of playing music, which is only gzeira drabbanan, I can be mekel. It's not even a malacha at all. But if it's a psikreshit lo nichle of, if it's a psikreshit lo nichle of, you know, carrying the mace out, which is a lachshim sichle gufa, then that's really a more serious drabbanan. So a lacha biptur. So then on a single drabbanan we wouldn't be mekel. That's what everybody wanted to say. Now. That's, I think, what the poskim say here in terms of segregation lo nichle, and the basic halacha of segregation lo nichle. As you can imagine, this is bread and butter. Ma'aseh v'chol yom, almost every like real shaila of Shabbos is a segregation lo nichle issue, right? Or at least some segregation issue. Again, opening the fridge is a segregation de nichle, because you actually, again, you might not want the light because you'll say I don't want it to get out of Shabbos, but as a physical person, you want light. Everyone knows it's better to have light than not to have light. That's a segregation de nichle. Opening your door and setting off the alarm is a psikreshit lo nichle, because you certainly don't want the alarm to go off when there's no when there's no burglar there. And that's, you know, every case it comes off.
In the case of the fridge, what about where you have like a big, huge, bright light in your kitchen? It really doesn't make a difference
the way it's out of anyway. Right. So l'chora, it's better to have light in your fridge because the big, bright light in your kitchen doesn't shine the angle well into your fridge, and the light in your fridge adds something.
So I'm fairly certain you'd have to call that a psikresha de nichole. That's also the problem, of course, when you walk by the motion detector houses with the lights. The motion detector houses with the lights are a psikresha de nichole. So that's why it's hard to find so much room to be makel there, because, again, even though, again, it's not nichole for you to have a Shabbos problem, but physically it's nichole, because everyone knows when you're walking at night it's better to have light than not. And if you tell me you don't care if there's light at night, you're lying. Everyone knows it's better to have light than not to have light on the street at night. So that's why those motion detector things are so problematic, because of psikresha de nichole, much more so than, you know, any other types of electric devices you might accidentally set off.
The light bulbs are kind of loose.
I mean, if the light bulb only goes on half the times you open your fridge, then it would be Dov Shein Miskavein. In Dov Shein Miskavein, it doesn't matter if it's Nihor or not. Dov Shein Miskavein is always Mutter. So you're right. If the light bulb was half in, half out, then it's a Dov Shein Miskavein. Assuming, of course, that you're not Miskavein to turn on the light. Right? Means you have to be honestly not Miskavein. You have to honestly not be intending to turn on the light. But even if you'd be happy that it's on, then, because remember, if I intend to turn on the light, then that's Miskavein Mash. But even if you'd be happy that it's on, if it's mamish or davishin miskavein, it's mutter.
Is that mamish even if there's no way you can control it?
No, it's miskavein mamish if your intention is to turn on the light. I mean, if I say, I want to open the fridge and turn on the light because I like the light, that's miskavein mamish. There's nothing to talk about. I say, I want to turn on the fridge and I don't want to turn on the light. I just know it might happen. That's ain't a miskavein. Well, that's why that's in your brain. You know, miskavein versus ain't a miskavein. You just have to know what your kavana is and what your kavana isn't. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's not obvious. Now, so that's a little sikum of segregation of the lonichale. Again, the lumdus, you look, Rav Chanan has a piece in, I think it's in the Chelek Beis in the Simonim, where he goes into all the lumdus. Let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch then, and let's go back to our case of the Sekhrayt and Zeis and the Schavis. So, he just said it's a machlokes in the Aruch and the non-Aruch. Now, all of a sudden, he says, V'ha'olam noeg in heter v'davar. The olam is noeg heter, and what he means by the olam is noeg heter is not the olam is noeg heter like the aruch. Okay, that I can see. But he means the olam is noeg heter even to put the cup underneath, which is usher to court at l'kulei alma. The olam is noeg heter in a way that doesn't have any justification because they stick in this pishtun plug. And they put a cup underneath to catch the wine. So that's mamish. That's schita mamish. It's nichole. You're catching the wine. So how can we justify that? Right? As if all they did was without a cup, then okay, you say, they hold like the aruch. I didn't, but they do. But over here, no one is matcher that. So how are we matcher that? V'yesh lama lo mischus. He quotes the lima mischus of the kolbo. V'kem in shabar zaruka chutz lino ores v'inyan megas lino ores. How does it work? Here is the faucet. That's called the barza. Here is the pishtun. The oris is the same as the pishtun. It's the pakak, right? And then here is the barrel. If you think about it, you never touch the pishtun here. You only push it with the barza. The barza is long. The faucet's long. Maybe I do it too long, but it's certainly long. I mean, it sticks out in it a few inches. So you don't actually squeeze the cloth directly. You just push it. It's at the end of the faucet. And you're just pushing it at the end of the faucet. So it's a sponge on a stick. Right? It's a cloth on a stick. It's just part of the stick of the barza. And you're just sticking it on the barza. That's what he says. Habarza ruga chutzon ores. The faucet comes out long outside of where the cloth ends. The ein yad megas lo ores. And your hand never touches the cloth. Your hand only touches the barza, the faucet. Mutter mi dava spog. It's mutter. Like the sponge on a stick. And he has a whole discussion about what a svog is. The Aruch apparently has some more mythical idea of a svog. You know, it keeps the leviathans from eating the boats because it magically comes down and blinds his eyes. I think the other Rishonim assumed, which would point that it's just something that grows by the sea that's spongy. I think that there are some things called sponges that grow by the seashore somehow. So I think that's probably the more mainstream shot. But sheyesh, I'm pretty sure that our modern-day sponges are neither of those pshatim. They're just made of some, like, chemical. I'm not sure, but I think so. So, what? Okay, sheyesh lo beis achiza. You can get natural everything if you're really into it. So, sheyesh lo beis achiza. It's like a svog sheyesh lo beis achiza. So the kol was melamed tzchus. How can people do this? Because it's a svog sheyesh lo beis achiza. So,
Then the Mechaber says, "Lafisha ain't taina zu chazaka v'yish l'gam gengba." But this is not a strong taina. You could really question it. So now, what's the taina of the kolbo? What's the logic of the kolbo? The kolbo said it's like a sponge on a stick. So which shita does the kolbo work better for? The Raivid or Rashi and the Rambam? L'chora, the Raivid. That's what the Magen Avraham says. The Magen Avraham says, the kolbo holds like the Raivid. Because what's the svar of the Raivid? The svar of the Raivid is that once the sponge on a stick, it's just not. It's considered a pitcher, and it's not even in the world of shita. So he says, look, this is a cloth on a pipe, so it's considered like a pitcher, and it's not shayach talking about shita at all. It's totally exempt from the halachas of shita. That's the limud zchus of the kolbo. So why does the Mechaber say it's not such a good limud zchus? So taka, why isn't it a good limud zchus? Why is it not chazaka and roi legam gimbo? Right? Why don't we accept the kolbo? So the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah seem to say, well, it's a little. What did the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah say? They say Rashi and the Rambam are only makil the sponge on the stick. If you move it lightly, kinuach, if you just wipe with it. They weren't makil to squeeze it. Their whole point was that it's not a psegresh if it has a stick because it's not going to squeeze. But if you squeeze it about it, of course it's usser. So here, your mom is squeezing it, so of course it's usser. So they basically, and this is, again, my first time against Rav Shechter, is that the Mishnah Berurah seems to bring down from the Taz that he seems to talk in Rashi Tosfos terms. Although, if you stay another minute, you'll see how you go different ways. In Rashi and Rambam terms. That Rashi Rambam says the whole heter is based on the fact that you won't squeeze it if it has a stick. But if you squeeze it mamish, of course it's usser. Oh, but what about the Ravid? What happened to the Ravid? Why are we going to Rashi and the Rambam? Why is the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah going to Rashi and the Rambam? Why not say we're making like the Ravid? So here the Machzah Shekel has two deis. I'm not sure which is right. The Machzah Shekel on the, when the Magen Avraham says, the Kolbo is being Mutzchus with the Ravid. So the Machzah Shekel says, so Taka, why aren't we Malavid Mutzchus like the Ravid? Says, either we don't hold like the Ravid, or, he says, the Ravid only worked if the sponge is attached to the stick. It's Mamasha Kli, a sponge on a stick. Here, the cloth's not part of the faucet. It's two separate things. It just happened to be pushing the cloth with the faucet. That's what the Machzah Shekel says. He says to Deus, he says that So what did the Mechaber say? Either he says that the faucet's not a handle, it's a separate thing. So the Ravid's heter doesn't apply. How does the faucet change the cloth? The cloth is its own cloth. The cloth doesn't have a handle, Taka. Oh, the Ravid's heter doesn't apply. Or we can't rely on the Ravid against the Rashi and Rambam. So the Machzah Shekel is a little mesopic. Either the Svara is we can't rely on the Ravid, and once you take Rashi and the Rambam's derech, there's only a heter of the Kameach. There's no heter to squeeze. Or he says, maybe we could rely on the Ravid. Just in this case, it's not a sponge on a stick. It's a cloth with a pipe. Now, if you look at, I think if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, which way he's trying to say, I think the Mishnah Berurah comes out saying like the more machmer way that we just don't rely on the Ravid. So the Berurah says, "Deshani b'sachizah shel svog demahani de'ein shem elikinuach bi'alma." He seems to say, as a part of the Pasha, the only reason the b'sachizah of the svog helps is because you're not squeezing, you're only wiping. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to assume, L'chore, the Taz, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Taz are assuming that it's not that this doesn't qualify for the Ravid. It's that we don't rely on the Ravid. We are machmer against the Ravid like Rashi and the Rambam. That the only heter of the handle is that there's no squeezing. But if you do squeeze, about it, it's usser. So if I take this and I squeeze, that's usser because we don't rely on the Ravid. That's what the Mishnah Berurah and the Taz and one day in the Machzah Shekel seem to say. The Kol will rely on the Ravid, but we don't. That's one reason why. Now, of course, Rav Shechter paskin otherwise. He says the Chazanish paskin otherwise. Not so clear that the Chazanish said that. But there's a second reason why I disagree with Rav Shechter on this too. Again, Luli and Mustafina are disagree because lechor what they're talking about here is you wipe up oil with the svog, right? But our svogs nowadays we use with mayim. So hold on, with mayim already it's not a dush issue.
It's a malabing issue. Would the right at Svari even apply to malabing?
He applies it to malabing. And the Rambam says that it's also a Rishon. The Rambam puts it in the...
But who says the right is agreeing with the Rambam's categorization?
Then he should have made another Ha'ara and said, not only is the Rambam wrong because it's not right, it's not the Rishon.
Truth is, this is being that point. A lot of Rishon write that the Rambam, that the right that holds the Rishon Dash. Now you're Tina. Okay, in any case, the Mishnah Brura seems to come out not like Rosh Hashanah on this, and seems to answer this bunch on a stick, which again, I'm not here to say anyone they shouldn't follow Rav Shechter. He's obviously a bigger posek than me, and he's certainly allowed to argue on the Rosh Shavuru. But certainly I think the mainstream and what all the other latest farms pick up from the Mishnah Berurah from the Taz, and from maybe what the Magen Avraham meant also one day the Matzah Shekel, is that the Kobo might have thought you'd be Matzah sponge on a stick like the Ravid. But we say, maybe we just say this isn't a sponge on a stick. It's not a handle. But the Taz, the Mishnah Brura, seem to assume, like the other day in the Machzata Shekel, no, we say we don't rely on the Ravid. We don't hold from the Ravid's heter of sponge on a stick as a pitcher. We only hold from Rashi Rambam heter that a sponge on a stick doesn't squeeze. But if you do squeeze it, then Kuli Alma is mode that it's usser. So I think that's sort of the bottom line. Again, Rosh Hashanah said differently, but I think bottom line, that's the more mainstream Halacha l'maisa, that we reject the Ravid. Instead, we're at least machmir like Rashi and the Rambam. The only heter sponge on a stick is because you can wipe it gently without squeezing. But if you squeeze it, the inechnami it's also. So if you actually have a sponge on a stick, or you have a mop with a sponge on a stick on the bottom, or something like that, right? A mop is a sponge on a stick. Then you can wipe lightly, because being for the Ravid it's mutter, being for Rashi and the Rambam it's mutter, but you can't squeeze it hard, because that would be usher for Rashi and the Rambam, we're machmir like Rashi and the Rambam.
Just practically, you have to remember the whole point of doing this is to clean your dishes or whatever, so there's no way you're going to clean your dishes by just lightly...
So therefore, when it comes to dishwashing, the whole head of a sponge on a stick is not going to help. Because if you're washing your table with a sponge on a stick, then you could say, like Rashi, like the case in the Mishnah, you wipe your table with a sponge on a stick. That's fine. There's no schita. But if you are washing dishes, you can't wash dishes without squeezing really hard. In which case, the whole head of a sponge on a stick doesn't apply to dishwashing because we do not rely on the Ravid. And therefore, the sponge on the stick will not help for dishwashing. Aliba de most achronim. Against Rav Shechter. Oh, again, was based on the fact that Chazon Ish was making on this, but it's unclear exactly what the, where that's before in the Chazon Ish. That's the sponge. Now, let's just finish off this Shulchan Aruch. He says one last thing. What does he say in the end? V'tol v'hanhigam. So what should you tell people to do, Lamaisa? They shouldn't use this very, very weak kula of the kolbo, which we don't rely on. Rather, what should they do? You should tell them that they're allowed to squeeze it in, but just don't put a cup there and let it go to waste. So that's what he says. In the end, just tell people you can squeeze it, but let the wine go to waste. Now, of course, this is a little tricky. Why does he say you should let them squeeze it and let the wine go to waste? We don't hold like the Aruch. There are two opinions here. The Magen Avraham says that in the end, you know why we can be make of let the wine go to waste? Because we have two things to be with Sarif. A, the Aruch says, Holech even as much as observation only chalei. And B, even if he's wrong, many Mishonim say it's much of the wine goes to waste, because that's not even in the Gedder of Dush. So if you have two Tzadim Lahakel, it might not even be in the Gedder of Dush. Right? It might be Kvash Mishlakash Sacht on the Gufan, Mufka from Dush. And even if it's not more from Dosh, it's gracious. Well, Nichalei, so you can be Mekel. That's how the Magen Avraham understands the Maskana. The Maskana is you can be Mekel to let it go to E, but Bitseiruf to A and to B. The Taz and the Mishnah Berurah understand differently. Taz and the Mishnah Berurah understand it's a different Seiruf. It's a Seiruf of the Aruch and the Kolbo. Even though the Kolbo's time is weak, maybe he's right. And maybe the Aruch's right. So Bitseiruf, the Aruch and the Kolbo, you can be Mekel. So the principle seems to be here that they argue about exactly what the tzeirif is, but in the end, the machaber was mekel based on a tzeirif of the aruch and another svar also. Just could be the aruch and the Magen Avraham quotes the Rivash, Rashba, and Mishnah, who say that It's not the gather of doshet that's l'gufan. So the tzeir of separation l'nichalei and l'gufan. Or the Taz Mishabur say it's a tzeir of separation l'nichalei and svog sheish l'beis achira, and it's a cloth on a stick. Even though we rejected that, we're a tzair fit to the arach. So based on the tzeiruf, you can be mekel, and that is the maskana of the... that's the maskana of the mechaber. Ramosha Feinstein picks up on this a little in the Igros Moshe Or Chaim Chilek Beisim and Ayin when he wants to talk about wiping with a wet paper, which I assume means a paper towel, although it's not 100% clear to me, because whether it's a paper towel or a paper, in the old days did they wipe with wet papers? Maybe. Anyway, but he wants to say that that maybe b'tzeiruf the fact that paper is not really absorbent, and the aruch that you don't really want to squeeze out the water, and the fact that it's not really the derech to squeeze water out of paper. So if you can mitzeiruf things in the aruch, you can be mekel and you can wipe with a wet paper towel. Now of course this is funny because it's based on an assumption that wiping with a wet paper towel or wet paper, it falls under the category of the aruch, and you don't want the water to come out. This is very, very... I have no idea how to actually find my way through this thicket, but this is a big mess when I, again, when I wipe with a baby wipe or a sponge or a, let's say, a table. When I wash dishes with a sponge, l'chor, that's pashut that I want the water to come out and you can't apply the aruch or anything else. The whole point of a sponge, that the sponge absorbs soapy water and puts it out onto the dishes. Unless you just say you want the sponge to be soapy.
It doesn't help just to have the water sliding off it. You need the water to be on the sponge.
Right. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Okay, so I don't know. When you use sponges, when you use wet rags, when you use wet paper towels, when you use baby wipes, etc., is that a case of the aruch, or is it not a case of the aruch? Do you want the liquid to come out, or do you not want the liquid to come out? It's a little unclear, because on the one you could say, you don't want the liquid to come out, you just want it to be wet, so it can clean. But you don't need the liquid to come out. Like, if I wash my table with a sponge or a wet rag, I'd actually prefer that my table be dry afterwards. Then I wouldn't have to bother to wipe it. I just want the rag to be wet. I don't want the water to go onto the table. The baby wipe. I don't need my baby's bottom to be wet afterwards. I think, unless some that have like these herbs or something, aloe vera or other things, maybe I do. I don't know. But at least when I think about it, I don't need my baby's bottom to be wet after I wipe. I just need the thing to be wet. But no, maybe that's the wrong way of looking at it. Maybe I need the water to come out because that's what's going to clean it.
How does it clean it? It doesn't wet the surface of anything.
Right, so that's it. I'm not a Bucky in the science of cleaning. I'm Bikoshi a Bucky in non-scientific cleaning. I don't know what the science of cleaning is. I don't. Does cleaning work? You need the water to come out and clean, or you just need a wet garment to clean? So Rav Moshe seems to assume that you don't want the water to come out of the shmata you use to clean. That's what he seems to assume. The Shmir Shams Gilchasa brings a machlokas about this, but where would he bring this machlokas? In the Simon of. Here we are. Perek Yud Beis. Yeah, in Perek Yud Beis in Ha'ara. It's right here on the page. In Perek Yud Beis Ha'ara Lamed Vav, when he talks about it, it's Lamaisa. What does everyone say? Everyone says it's Usur to use a wet anything to do your dishes or your table or etc. on Shabbos. Why? Number one, if it doesn't have a stick, then of course it's usher. When you pick it up, you'll be squeezing it. And even if it has a stick, if you're going to use it in a way that's squeezing, that's also usher. But in the footnote here, he wants to say that he thinks that when you wash with a wet rag, you need the water to come out. That's because of Shlomo Zalman. And And unlike, he says, the Mincha Shavas and one Gerson, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, who want to say otherwise. So it seems to me, and unlike Ramosh, you seem to assume you don't want the word to come out. So I don't exactly know how to... What? Perek Yud Beis, footnote Lamed Vav, in the Shemir Shavas Kasa. I don't exactly know how to conceptualize it. Do you want the water to come out, or do you not want the water to come out? I'm not really sure. A little hard to say. Do you want the water to come out or not? But in any case, Lamaisa, what do all the poskim say? All the poskim say, Lamaisa, you can't use it, because it's a svog she'ein bo beis achiza. So a svog that has no beis achiza is a problem. And even if it had a beis achiza, to squeeze it hard would be a problem, because we assume like Rashi and the Rambam, when you squeeze, it's a problem. Even though we're not exactly sure how to conceptualize what you're doing when you're squeezing, right? Is it liban? Is it dash? That would depend on all these machlokos. Do you want the water? Do you not want the water? But lemaisa, we say that you can't squeeze anything when you use it to clean on Shabbos. So that's why sponges are out. That's why wet rags are out. And that's why vichule. Again, Rav Moshe has the Heter mentioned you can wipe with a wet paper on Shabbos, but it doesn't seem to. Again, I'm not sure exactly what kind of paper he was talking about. So he said it's not absorbent, which makes me think he was talking about paper, which we don't really do anymore. Because paper is not very absorbent. The Bounty is the most absorbent thing there is. So, unclear. Maybe in Israel it would be different. Thought I'm going to say to Rabin. But Lemaisa, that the poskim don't pick up on that, and we generally assume that it's usher to squeeze anything wet, either by picking it up without a beis achiza, or even with the beis achiza by swooshing it against the surface.
Assuming Islam says on one side of the proposition that all the water is on the surface of the baby wipe, can we make all given that fact? Or even despite that, we still should have no to allow.
Right, so the baby wipes is a big issue, as we know. The baby wipes should be usher based on all this, right? It's a svog she'imbo beis achiza. Right, as soon as you pick it up, you're already squeezing it.
But practically, we know that's not true. There's certain baby wipes, at least. Like when you pick it up, there is no skita. I mean, it doesn't appear to be any skita as if there would be, like when you pick up a wet rag that's completely saturated. So that clearly
your hands don't get wet.
So right, so you get wet, but is it wet because the water's already on the surface?
Ah, okay. So that's the question. A baby wipes, l'chora, you would think should be totally usher. Right, you'd think they should be straight out usher. But the debate in the poskim seems to be, is there physically lu yitzur their schita, then it would seem to be a problem. Right? Now exactly what the problem is, you have to figure out. Exactly what, hard to say malabing, because Rav Moshe assumes, and people agree with him, that there's no malabing in things that you throw in the garbage. There's only malabing in things you're going to use again. Okay, I see we're out of time. So I think what we'll have to do is, we don't have so much more. We will believe neder, and I mean it very sincerely. We'll finish up this topic and start the next Am Malacha Mirz Hashem on Thursday.
What about the idea of the cover of this, the idea of the
What's the cover of Brius?
What?
What's the cover of Brius?
I don't know. I guess somebody likes to use wipes.
No, cover of Brius means. Means yeah. If you have no other choice but to use wipes. I don't use wipes. I have plenty. You know, I don't use wipes. So my life is okay. I mean, for a baby.
Say baby has a rash.
Say baby has a rash.
You usually don't use baby wipes.
No, you can use the hypoallergenic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think, I don't know, I'm not a bucky. Anyway, if the baby has a rash, I didn't say don't clean the baby. That's what they have bathtubs for and sinks. Well, you know, 20 years ago, there were no